Just left here from the women's conference, and I was driving home, and I knew. She called me when I was right before I was getting ready to preach the message, and I knew what she wanted, so I called her on the way home. And so I got home, and we had to get around, and he was like 2.5 hours from us, or 2 hours and 15 minutes, something like that. And so we got in the car, and I said, they're like, my sister had already seen him. She said, he's not going to make it very long, and you can just, you probably shouldn't even come. And I said, I got to try to get there. And so we jumped in the car, and we're driving, and I'm just sitting there half numb, obviously. If you've lost your parents, you know, that's, besides a child, I don't even want to think about that, but a parent, it is one of the worst things that's happened to me. But we're just driving, but I'm just being thankful that God, that first of all, that we, you know, we get to go down here and see him. And I was just praying, God, just hold him on till we get there. I know that you'll hold him on. And he passed away 51 minutes before I got there. And we were 51 minutes away, and he passed away. And was I mad? No. No, why would I be mad? Do I think God took him at that moment to make me mad or to put something against me? No, I don't. I think it was his time to go, and he went. I think he got the closure he needed with my sister, and he was at peace enough to go. That's what I think. I was thankful that I was given to him as a daughter. I started being thankful for the things that I could as I was driving. Now, was I broken? Was I hurt? Of course I was. Of course I was. But if I never knew the man, and he wasn't my father, I couldn't have even had anybody to be hurt or crying over. See? I had all those good times with him. I remember... Okay, husbands, if you do this and you get caught, don't come to me and say you told me to do this, because I'm going to deny it. But my mom would make cookies, like, because there was 4 of us kids, and we'd down those things in a minute when we were kids. But she'd make all the Christmas treats, right, ahead of time, and she'd freeze them, right? And there's a freezer out in the garage. And we didn't know this, the kids didn't know this, but my dad did. She'd put a quarter on the freezer so that if we got in that freezer, she would know because it moved, right? Stinking little woman, her, I'm telling you. So we didn't know that. But when we would go, and because we would go in it, and we would take some cookies, and then later we would get yelled at and get probably spanked. Yep, because they did it back then. They did it. And we were like, how did she see? Those were the years before cameras were ever invented to go in your house, you know, the security cameras. And we're like, how did she know? We thought mom knew everything. Like, you couldn't breathe without that woman knowing anything. And so she would know we got into it. We couldn't figure this thing out. But my dad knew it. So when my dad would come home, he's a truck driver. He'd be on the street, on the roads. He long distance. And he'd come home on the weekends, and he knew. So he'd take that quarter, pull that up, get us some cookies out of it, put it back down, and put that quarter right back where it was at. We told her that later in life, and she got so mad. She said, you old fart. I can't believe you did that. And we said, oh, yeah, he did. He looked at us like, kids, I got to live with this woman still. But how can I be thankful if I never had that memory? How can I be thankful if God didn't give me that in the first place? See, we sometimes see the end result, and sometimes it's sad, but we're forgetting all the things that we get to be thankful for leading up to that point. It's appointed unto once for man to die. We're all gone, right? At some point, we're all gone, and we're not promised tomorrow. So I'm telling you, somebody just told me, well, I have a friend that I grew up with, was good friends with growing up, and her 26-year-old son passed away last week. 26 years old. If something doesn't tell you that you're not promised tomorrow, that should tell you you're not promised tomorrow. I am. I am more than twice over that. No, I'm not. Hold on. Not yet. I am not quite twice over that, but almost twice over that. I had to figure that up again. Give me numbers. I can do it. Yeah, right. Okay, don't give me your numbers either. But you get why we're thankful. God has given us so much good stuff in our lives that when the bad comes, that all we have to do is be thankful for the good to get over the bad. I'll always miss my father. Listen, I always will miss my mother. And they say, does it get easier? Yes. I'll say it gets easier, but you never forget. They're my parents. You know? You never forget. I can be going down the road 16 years after my mom has passed and cry about her because there's some memory that comes up. God, thank you for that memory. Am I mad because she's not there with me? No, I've chosen to be thankful for the years that I've got with her, that I had with her, instead of the years now that I don't have her. You know? You've got to be thankful for the good things. And you've got to be thankful that in the bad things, that God has seen a way out for you. Amen. That God promises the end is coming. And he promises that the victory is yours. Because he's the one who's already done the finished work on the cross. Amen. It's not something you're trying to get him to do. He's done it. Right? What can you get God to do? God can't even get you up in the morning and pray. Truth? Listen, I'm guilty of that some days because I'm so tired. I'm not a morning person. I'll praise him all night long, but give me my mornings to sleep. What can't he do for you? Or though the point was, what can you get God to do? I didn't get God to do nothing. You think when you pray, you get God to do this. No, listen. A whole different view of how you're looking at it. God set it up. He gave you victory. He loves you. He gives you peace. He breaks every chain off of you. He heals you from the inside out. And he makes provision for you, right? He set his word up to teach you what to do so that you can gain access to his provision. And you think you're getting God to do something for you? No, you're finally doing something for God. You're finally saying, God, I need you. He's saying, finally, finally. They're not whining and crying. You know, we think, women, I'm sorry. I'm guilty too. I'm not pointing you out. I am a woman. But we women can be manipulative sometimes. No need, Ted. I know. We know how to get what we want, when we want it, how we want it. Amen? Men, you're just too easy sometimes. You are just too easy. You love us so much that we know sometimes you won't tell us no. Is that truth, men? Ted, I promise you, there's come a day that you said yes when you didn't want to. Because we know how to do it. Right, women? And we somehow think we can get God to do that the same way. God's not man. God's not moved by our emotions. He's not moved by our control. He's not moved by us trying to manipulate a situation the way we want it to be. Now, I'm not saying we all do it and we do it now, and I try not to do it because the Lord convicted me of it long ago. I did it because I was asking Phil after we started the church. It's 2 years into it, and I was exhausted, like exhausted. Running on the weekends, running. And we were just, I was exhausted. Two services on Sunday, I think we were doing then. And then we started a Thursday night service. It was just, oh. And I said, Phil, can I quit my job? He said, no. So then I'd go and I'd say, man, how's your work? How's your day today? Phil, I'm just exhausted. I'm so tired. I tried it. I did it. I put it all on him. The tears, they were real though. But I did it all. Honey, can I please? My boss is so mean to me. Now, nothing will get Phil more than somebody not treating me proper, like being mean to me. That'll set Phil afire for no reason. Now, he understands if I'm mean. But if, you know, if it's innocent, if I'm innocent and they treat me mean, oh, That'll set him afire. And so I'm like, Phil, she was so mean to me. So I told him about an incident because I don't normally tell him everything. And he's like, she did what? And I said, honey, can I quit? Can I quit now? And he said, no, you cannot quit now. So this is what I said. I said, you know what? I'm going to quit asking you. I don't know why I came to you in the first place. I'm going to go ask God. He's in control of my life. I'm going to go ask God. I'm going to quit asking you. So I went and I was praying. And he didn't answer me for the first out and how long many times. So you just have to wait because it says wait on the Lord. Stand. So I'd stand. Lord, I'm thanking you that I get to quit. I thank you that I get to quit. Lord, can I quit? And one day he said, no. I literally did that. Are you serious? Okay, God, I'm going back to Phil because I know there's no way to make you change your mind. So I went back to Phil and he laughed and he said, yep, nope, nope. So then I just had to start being thankful for my job again. Amen? Being thankful for the people that he put in my life. Being thankful. And then all of a sudden, my job came up in the church and I got to leave. It was about a year and a half later. So it was a long journey. But God's faithful. God's faithful. That's all. Think over your life. And truly think, as we were doing this morning, about where we came from and what he's done for us. How good he really is. Not what you're going through in this moment. If it's bad, if you're in a season, and I just came through a season. I promise you, I just came through a season. But think now about what God has done for you. What did he bring you out of? What did he heal you from? Who did he bring into your life that was like a light that just was so beautiful? You know, my grandbabies. Oh. Let me tell you, if you're a child of somebody in here, and my son's not here to hear this, get married and have babies and give your parents grandchildren, whether you want to or not. This life ain't about you. Quit being selfish. Okay, I'm half joking with you there, but I'm serious in a way. Because my grandbabies are the best thing ever. I don't even care who my kids are. I want my grandbabies. Amen? Somebody said parents love grandbabies more than they love their own kids. It's truth. They ain't put me through everything you put me through. They're just loving. I just get love on them and send them home. You stayed in my house and ate my food and I had to change your diaper and I had to do all that crazy stuff with you. I ain't got to do that with my grandbabies if I don't want to. You just consumed, consumed, consumed. They just give me love, love, love. And I'll let them consume, consume, consume. Amen. But I'm thankful. I'm thankful for my family. Why? Because when my dad was passing, when my dad's funeral was going on, my little grandson helped bring a peace and a togetherness in my family that hasn't been there for years. My sister, one of my sisters who hasn't talked to me and my younger sister for years, by the end of it, this boy had broken through a barrier that nobody else could. And my sisters and I were talking before we left. Now, my younger sister and I always talk, but my older sister didn't talk to us. But now, we even went out to eat afterwards. Why? Because God brought a little redhead into our life so that he could be a barrier breaker. I'm thankful for that. I'm just naming off some stuff to get your brains going, to truly get off of the sadness and the heartbreak or, you know, that feeling where you just so tense. Forget about that one. And let's think about what God's done. Let's be reminding ourselves of the goodness of God. Because no matter what it looks like right now, it's going to end for you. You're going to get through that season because your life is your life, not your moment. You're in a moment that will pass. That will pass. That's what people tell you when your parents pass, or when anybody, you know. It's just a moment. this too shall pass. And it's a truth, but it's not helpful. Not helpful. Amen? Thank you. I love your heart, but in your heart you're thinking, that is not helpful. That is not helping me. This moment is what I'm looking at. But your moment, your life is more than your moment. And are we going to choose to sit in our moment and get up and be thankful for the life that he's given us and move on with him and get out of the moment and get into a better season? Get out of the valley and get up to that mountaintop with him. Amen? Amen. Amen. Boy, I've hardly hit my notes at all, I'm just telling you. Oh, it's not working again. It'll work. It'll work. Psalms 28:7 says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusts in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him. My praise is an outward expression of my thankfulness to him. You'll hear me shout. You'll see me dance. Maybe not good. It's okay. I don't care. I don't care how stupid I look to people. You might see us take off running, although I think I'm thankful that he hasn't made me run in this church yet because it's a little bigger than that other one. I didn't quite run out of breath with that other one, but this one I think I'd be dying right about there, running that way. My praise is an outward expression of my thankfulness to him. And so if you're not praising, what does that say? If you're not praising him and thanking him, it means you need to get into a more intimate relationship with your Savior. You need to spend time with him. Some of you got saved, and it was amazing. The peace fell on you, and you just knew he was with you. And then since then, you've waned off of the seeking after him. And you wonder, what's wrong? There's just a feeling, and you can't put your finger on it, and what's wrong? You quit. You quit. Or you slowed down seeking him. Because the only peace that you're going to get in this world is the peace that comes from Jesus that surpasses all understanding. Amen? How many times, I will tell you, I think I've already said it, but through this season, when the circumstances would have said, I shouldn't have had joy or I shouldn't have had peace, and I was walking into situations that just weren't peaceful. A strange calm was there. A peace that I couldn't explain to you. Because I can't explain Jesus sometimes. The Father, just ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Amen? Just he's more than what we can imagine or think. And so he does way more than we can imagine or think. And through a time where I probably it should have been laying in bed, not getting out of bed because I just couldn't move. I got out of bed. And I had a peace in me. And I had a strength fall upon me. It's tangible. I don't know if some of you can understand what I'm saying, but you didn't feel like it. But it happened. And I'm so thankful for the people that pray for us during that moment. Amen? Because we are each other's keeper. God put us together for a reason. You know? And not just us, the body of Christ as a whole. You don't have to go to my church for me to pray for you. You don't have to go to my church for me to be excited for what your church is doing. Listen, I'm so stinking over the moon for New Hope that I can't stand myself. I think that's one of the most amazing things. They were mobile for 13 years, and now they get a building to stay and call home, and they get to just leave everything sit. If you've never been in a mobile church, you don't understand what they've been going through. So Phil and I have the first couple years that we were in a church, so we understand completely what that meant. They get to just leave everything alone and walk out the door, shut everything off, and come back, and it's set up for them. Like, how cool are you, God? How faithful are you, God? I'm excited for them. We don't have to go to the same church. We're in the same family. Amen? We're in the same family. And so we should be lifting one another up all the time. Be excited for somebody's wins. Be excited for somebody's victories. Amen? Don't see somebody get ahead in life and have a victory in an area and look and just start saying, well, why can't I have that, God? That's why. That attitude is why. Amen? Say, God, I'm so excited for them. Thank you that you are blessing them. Lord, I'm just, thank you for being so faithful to them. Just start being excited for them. Pray for them. And watch God bless you. Amen? It comes with a thankful heart and a thankful attitude and an attitude of love towards one another. Being content and where you're at. And that's where I was trying to go. But I couldn't quite get there. I'm getting there. I know how to abound and I know how to... I know how to be abased and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and be hungry, but to abound and suffer need. Philippians 4:12. And oh, I love this scripture. It doesn't have the word in it, but Psalms 107:29, he maketh the storms calm so that the waves are still. He maketh your storms calm. He's already done it. Do you see that? Like the word already has already dotted throughout it. All you have to do is find the scripture and stand on it. If you got a storm in your life, go grab a scripture. You got something rearing up, getting ready to try to overtake you. You can't be overtaken unless you want to be overtaken. Because God's already given you a way of escape, right? If you're constant in prayer and thanksgiving, and all, he can't help himself. All my grandson has to do is come up and give me a hug. What do you want? Do you want a car? He's 3. You want a car? What do you want? Right? For grandmothers and grandfathers, now I don't have a car money, but God does. Well, like, the world is open to him for a hug. What do you think God wouldn't open for you? For your hug. For your fellowship with him. That's what you're created to do. You're created. He created man to have fellowship with him. He walked with Adam and Eve in the cool of the day every single day. Why? Because he loved them and he wanted fellowship with them. And that's why he made man. He loves you. He wants to talk to you. Now, why he would want to talk to some, I don't know. I love you, Logan. But he wants to talk to you. Amen? He wants to talk to you. He wants to fellowship with you. He wants to bless your life. He wants to bring goodness to you. I wish above all that your soul may prosper and be in health, or that you may prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. Amen? That's what he wants for you. And whether you get it or not, isn't God's choice. The finished work is already done. He's already said, here. Here you go. Everything you need to live is right here. Everything you need to get through, anything that you're going through, is right here. Somebody need an answer from you because they're calling you and saying this and this and this. Get in the word for them. We are our brother's keeper. And give them something that they can use to get out of what they're in instead of sitting in their pity with them. I've had a bad day. Oh, I'm sorry. What is this? It just stinks, don't it? Yeah, it just stinks. This happened, this happened. Oh, I can't believe they did that to you. What? Stop it. Don't add to their misery. Get into the word and tell them what God says about their day. Amen? Tell them what God says about them. I'm sorry they said that to you, but that's not what God says over you. God says that you are royal priesthood. That we heard it from Charlie today. He formed me before I was in my mother's womb. He knew who I was. He wanted me here. He chose me. He chose you. Why? He wants fellowship with you. Why do you have kids? You question it after you have them, don't you? I have kids, they said. It'll be fun. It is when you get to the grandbabies. Just hold on. I promise you it's all worth it when you get to the grandbabies. Just push through the kid phase. No, I'm just kidding. Kids are awesome. I love my baby. I love my boys. I feel a sweet presence in here. I just feel a sweet presence in here. He wants you to know how much he loves you, what he's already done for you. And whether you get it or not is not up to him, because he's already decided that he's so in love with you that he'd send a son for you. And he'd do a finished work, and all you would have to do is walk it and fellowship with him. That's how much he loves you. He has set up a life that you get to choose. You get to choose good or you get to choose evil. You walk and straddle the fence of good and evil. And some days you're good, some days you're evil, some days you're good. Guess what? You've chosen not to follow him. Doesn't matter if you say his name. Today I'm going to call this girl out on what she did. Okay, this is my line. I got a line here. And I'm on this side of the line, the right side. Oh, the left side is the wrong side then. Let's do that. Sorry. I just get stupid stuff in my head sometimes. But I'm just going to go in and tell her what I think about her. She's nothing but a blankety, 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 blank. And then the next day I'm posting, oh, Jesus, I'm going through some stuff. Help me. Yeah, you're going through some stuff. Bless the Lord, because you were just cursing somebody yesterday. And there's a rule out there called the rule of sowing and reaping. It's a kingdom rule. That means what you give out is coming back. It's not karma. That's a word the world came up with. It's called sowing and reaping in the kingdom of God. What I give you, I'm getting back. So I'm going to pray prayers for that person who cussed me out yesterday. And I'm just going to ignore it. And I'm not even going to pay attention that they did it. Well, how can you do that? Because I have a Savior who ignored that I used to do that and saved me anyway. He ignored that I just wanted to hit you as opposed to talk to you. I was mean. Listen, I'm not kidding you. I'm not, okay, some people think I'm still mean today, but I really am not that mean. Except for to Logan, but you understand that. It's tough love. It's tough love, Tanja. It's tough love, Logan. I'm okay with that. He's my child. I'm okay with that. He's my engrafted child. So I'm okay with abusing him. He's not abused, trust me. Amber, is he abused? No. Thank you. See, now I forgot my point. Logan. Huh? Want to. I know one of you can help me out. Well, I'm just waiting. I'm not. I promise. I'm not as mean as I used to be. And so that's why I can just let this person go, because do you ever wonder what made him that way? You know what I mean? And those of us that were that way, we kind of have a little bit more probably compassion and grace for them. Because when I see somebody get that angry and that mad and that hurt and that and just wanting just to go off and just kill everything, I used to be that. And God saved me from that. And what the Bible says, what we freely receive, freely give. Is it not truth? So I give it because he gave it. Listen, you can be called a name or two and it's not going to hurt you, right? To show the love of Jesus in somebody's life that has never seen it because they've been broken and they've been abused, or they have been through God knows what in their life, or maybe in the season they're in. I used to work at the bank, and there was this mean guy that came through, and I was the new girl, and there was this mean guy that came through. There was a day, it's been so long now, I can't remember what day, but he'd come once a week. And he'd come through. And he's so mean that I was new. I didn't know he was mean. And they would leave the window, so I'd have to go over and wait on him, and he could be mean to me. So I'd just say hi to him, and how you doing today? And he'd sneer at me, and I'd say, okay, go do his thing, give him his receipt, thank you, have a great day. And he'd sneer at me again. And this just continued for about a month, and I just kept being nice. Kept being nice. When I'd leave his window, I wouldn't say anything about how mean he was being. I wouldn't say anything about how he would treat me. I would just leave the window and just let it go. And then one day he come in and it all changed. I said, hey, how are you doing today? Good to see you. He said, it's good to see you too. I probably almost fell down or my mouth was open. I don't know which, because it was so unusual for him to do that. And he said, you know, without being prompted, you know, I just went to the doctor today. I'm done with chemo and I'm cancer-free. Listen, I didn't know that man was going through cancer. I didn't know he was getting chemo. What wouldn't that make you mad? How do people make it in these situations without Jesus? That's one thing that I've really understood when I just went through the season that I went through. Is without Jesus, man, how do you make it? I don't want to even think about how. Because I couldn't. But this man, he didn't have Jesus, and he was the mean as a snake. But he had a reason he was being as mean as a snake. And as soon as his pain was gone, and as soon as the thought process that I'm going to die was gone, then he became who he was, this nice man. And I'm telling you, I had a great relationship with that man. If I saw him today, he'd probably hug me. And I would hug him because he was just a sweet man. He was going through a moment in his life. Right? So, go pray for that person. Be thankful you got a reason to pray right now. Lord, I thank you. Because it says pray always and without ceasing. Amen? So, somebody comes and is mean to you, cuts you off on the road. Lord, I thank you that whatever that person's going through right now, that you're with them, that you help them, that you reveal yourself to them, that you give them peace, that you give them joy. You could be their saving grace that day. Amen? Amen. Well, this didn't come out anything like I promised. I have all this good stuff written. I feel like I just got going and just, I don't know. There was one thing that I do know I need to say. That as a Christian, I think sometimes we've done disservices. And once somebody gets saved, pretended like it's all going to be great now. You ever heard that kind of thing be done? And I think it's a disservice to people. Because not everything comes easy in this life. Amen? And the enemy doesn't want you saved. He doesn't want you telling people about Jesus, and he doesn't want your life reflecting Jesus. And so the word says, and we say it all the time, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Can you tell that's one of my favorite scriptures? But the Lord delivers us out of all. So understand that being a Christian doesn't mean that everything's going to be good all the time. There are going to be hard struggles. There are going to be times where you just have to stand. You're not going to understand. I don't understand why some things happen. I don't have all the answers. I don't think there's one person on this earth that has all the answers as to why everything happens. I think when we get to heaven, he'll reveal it to us, right? And I can tell you, I'm looking around, and the most of you I know, and I know the hardships that you've gone through. And some have been severe. But I do know this, that once we get to heaven, this world was going to be just a vapor. And it's all going to be worth it. It's all going to be worth it in the end. Amen? Amen. When we enter those gates and hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant, come on in. That's when it's going to be all this stuff is going to fade away. All the pain we went through on this earth, all the struggles, all the hardships, it's just going to be nothing at that point. And we're going to say, it was all worth it. Because we can't even speak of what, there's nothing on this earth that compares to what God's prepared for us in heaven. Amen? And we get to see our loved ones again. So, whew. Amen. Let's just live this day, live our life being thankful. Finding reasons to just say thank you, God. The littlest of reasons. Now, this is so far outside of who I am because I am not a dog lover. But even for your dogs, be thankful. You know what I mean? Like, there's nothing. Lord, I thank you that this morning I woke up and my ear didn't hurt. I went to bed with my ear hurting last night, and I woke up and my ear didn't hurt. That's something to be thankful for. Some of us here are even saying, Lord, I thank you that my feet are on the ground and I'm walking. I'm here. Another day, your grace is sufficient for me again. New mercies today, Jesus. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Father, we just give you glory today. You're worthy. You're worthy to be praised. We just lift you up and exalt you in all your goodness and all your mercies. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We're going to bow our heads, everybody in here. If you would bow your head and close your eyes. I want to give people a moment. You're saying, you're talking about this Jesus and having an intimate relationship with him, but I don't even have any relationship with him. But I want one. Because understand this. This is the gist of what Jesus did. Adam and Eve sinned, brought in sin in this world. And there became a separation between us and God. And they used to have to go before priests, and they would go and they would offer sacrifices. But the Lord said, I want my children to be able to come to me. And so he made a way through Jesus Christ. And he sent Jesus to the cross for our sins. Our sins was upon him when he was on that cross. And he died and he rose again on the third day as our Savior. So that we have access again to the Father. There's only one way to heaven. No matter what anybody says, the Word of God says, there's only one way to heaven, and that's Jesus. He's our gate. There's no other gate. There's no other door. There's no other way. Jesus is our Savior. And in order to serve him, to serve the Lord, you must have Jesus as your Lord and Savior and say, yes, I believe that Jesus died on the third day, rose again for my sins. And he's my Savior and I'm saved. The Bible says all you have to do that is believe it and confess it. So we're going to give you an opportunity to confess it. If you believe it and you haven't done it yet, then we're going to give you an opportunity to confess it. If that's you and you want to confess and say, yes, the Lord is my Savior, just raise your hand. Amen. I see that hand. I see that hand. Anybody else? Listen, well, I'm not going to embarrass you, I promise. We're going to just, as a family, and some of you may wonder why I will always say the sinner's prayer when Phil's saying it with people, because I don't want anybody to ever think they're alone. I want you to know that there's family backing you up, that we're here with you. So as a family, there's a couple people that have raised their hand, and let's just with them repeat this prayer. And when you say this prayer, you've confessed it. But now you have to go to somebody, doesn't matter who it is, and say, I'm saved. Jesus is my Savior. That's your confession. Amen? So, Father God, I come to you now. And I believe that Jesus went to the cross for my sins and rose on the third day for my salvation. I repent of my sins, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart. Now, from this day on, Lord, I'm your child. I'm going to confess. I'm saved. And you're going to treat me like I'm saved, and that I'm your daughter or son. Now, Father, thank you for loving me, and thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. What I want you to understand, don't take this moment lightly, because right now, all heaven has stopped and there's a party going on. for those that raise their hand. Party going on in heaven for you, because he loves you that much and says another one is coming home. Another one is coming home. Amen. Amen. Okay, you are dismissed. We will see you Thursday night at 7. And remember, in 2 Sundays, we've only got 2 services left. There's no Thanksgiving week, no Thursday service that week. We'll come back on Sunday, and Pastor will be back with us. Amen? Woo!